Shalom to all. Today's Avos Baba Sadaf Kuf Samach Dalet, and we are starting Kuf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, the second to last line with the word Gufa. And today's Avos sponsored Lilu Nishmas Marsh Merim Sarah Basri Yaakov Moshe Hernish Amash and Heaven Aliyah. And the Gemara tells us Gufa. We had stated in the Gemara previously. Amar Rav. Rav tells us Shtar Haba Huve Edav Al Machak Kasher. If we have a Shtar that comes and it, meaning the text of the document and the Edim themselves, are all signed on a Machak, it's Kasher. Now Machak means it was erased. As I was referring to a document written on parchment, and anytime ink was erased from parchment, it was very obvious. It was very noticeable. And Rav says there's no chashash. If we had a document that once had something written on it, it was erased, and on top of that erasure, there was some new text written, and the edim as well signed on the erased part, everything is okay. On top, if you're going to suggest that he's going to erase and then erase again, meaning a person in preparation for doing something dishonest might write something on a document, erase it, and then he's going to write the shtar on the document, have edim sign over there, and then just erase the upper part and write something false, and here there's edim signed on it now. That's not a concern because there's no comparison between something that was erased once and erased twice. So if the guy really did do this, it's going to be obvious that the edim are signed on something that was erased only once, and that the upper part of the shtar was written on something that was erased twice, and everyone's going to know that, and therefore this is not a possible way to forge something. Ask more of Leichas, we should be chashish for the following. Dilma, perhaps, an unscrupulous fellow is going to pour some ink on the place where the edim will sign. He's going to do this originally before the edim sign there. He's going to erase it, which basically means he's going to ensure that the place where the edim sign was erased twice before they sign, and the place where the document's going to be written was only erased once before it's written. Because now when he goes and erases the upper part of the document, it's going to turn out that both spots, the area where the edim signed and the new area above where he's filling in false information, were both erased twice. They were erased at two separate times because he prepared it beforehand, and he's going to be able to forge the shtar this way. So Rabbi answers, that edim are only allowed to sign on an erased document if it was erased in front of them, and therefore this is never going to happen because they're going to make sure to see what's being done. They're never just going to sign a shtar that was erased without them being there. Ask the Gemara, how can this be? Meisvei Wefer Brasa tells us, let's say it, meaning the text of the document was on niyar, which means a blank piece of parchment that was never erased, it was fresh and brand new, and the edim are signed on something that was erased on this parchment, kasher, it's kasher. Why would that be? We should be chashish that now the guy is going to erase the upper part of the document and write whatever he wants. Now it turns out that both the text and the edim are on something that was erased. And the answer is that that's not a problem. This is what the edim are going to write when they sign on this document. We edim signed on something that was erased, but the shtar itself was written on a brand new parchment. And there was no chashash that the guy is going to erase the text of the document, because then when he writes something new, that's being written on mechak, but the edim had written very clearly that we're signing on a document that was written on a brand new piece of parchment. And so therefore there's no problem. Asking more, hold on a second. Kasvi Hecha, where the edim writing this statement that we signed on Machak, but the document was written on Niyar? Imalatachas, if it's written underneath their signatures, Gai is loy. So an unscrupulous fellow is just gonna cut off that statement of theirs. And Eloy, if it was written above their signatures, Machakley, an unscrupulous guy is gonna erase it. And anyway, since edim are signed on Machak, something that was already erased, this is just gonna blend into that, and it's not gonna look like something fishy is going on. As the answer is the Kasvi Bain Sahada La Sahada, this statement of the edim were written in between the edim signatures, and therefore there's no problem. Asking more, if that's so, ema seifa. What about the end of this brisa? It tells us hu al machak ve'edav al niyar. Let's say the shtar itself was written on machak, something that was previously erased, but the edim were signed on the bottom, and that happened to be brand new. Puzzle, it's puzzle. The question is, am I puzzle? Why is it puzzle? Hachinami here also. Nichtvu hachi. Why don't they write as follows? Anachnu sadi chasamna al niyara. We edim signed on fresh parchment. Ushtara al machka. And the shtar, the text of the document, was written on something that was erased. And hachinami my amrit. Now also, what are you going to say that you're going to suggest that this is actually a problem? Meichik v'chayzer meichik, that maybe somebody dishonest is going to erase the upper part of the shtar and write something brand new? Well, Ahmed, you already said, that there's no comparison between something that was erased once versus something that was erased twice, so we don't have to be chashish that the upper part of the document is going to be erased and something brand new is going to be written on it. And my answer is no, that's exactly the problem. Hani mili, that's only when the edim are also signed on something that was erased. So the entire document, both the text and the edim, were on something that was already erased, and someone dishonest erases just the text and writes something brand new, so then it's going to be obvious, based off of the contrast between where the edim are signed and where the text is written, that one of them was erased once and one of them was erased twice, so we're not going to have any issues. But in the situation, like in ours, where the edim aren't even signed on something that was previously erased, they're signed on niyar, on fresh parchment, we're not able to tell how many times the upper part of the document was erased, once or twice. It's only based off of the contrast between the upper and lower parts of the document are we able to see. But since the lower part of the document never had anything erased in the first place, we're not going to be able to tell that the upper part of the document had something erased twice. Ask the Gemara, what's the issue? V'leisi megilta achriti, bring another megillah, meaning bring another piece of parchment, v'limchaik, and erase something that's written on it, v'lidmi, and let's compare the two. Let's compare this piece of parchment we just brought to the upper part of the document and see if it was erased once or twice. And the answer is, loydami machka daha megilta, lamacha daha megilta. We're not able to compare an erasure on one document to another document because it could be that they're varying thicknesses, and even if, let's say, both of them are erased once or twice, they still don't look exactly the same. We have to compare it based off of the very same document. Ask Gemara, we still have a way to figure this out if the upper part of the document was erased once or twice. Ulakabal chasimus yadid sahadi beidina. Why not bring this one document to Bezdin, confirm the Edom signatures in Bezdin, and once we have their signatures confirmed, v'limchaik, erase those signatures, v'lidmi, and now we can compare the lower part and upper parts of the document. Or we can see if the upper part was erased twice or just once. So Omer Bishai, Rabbi Shai, this answers, there's no comparison between something that was erased today versus something that was erased yesterday. And if the upper part of the shtar was erased and rewritten, that would have taken place yesterday. And therefore, by us erasing the bottom part of the shtar today to try to make a comparison, that's still not going to help us because that was erased today, not yesterday. Ask Gemara, fine, v'lishaya. Let this document sit in Bezdin, let it wait another day, so we'll be able to compare these two erasures, the one from the upper part and lower part of the document. They both were left to sit the requisite amount of time, and so now we'll be able to see if one of them was erased twice. On this, Amar Rabbi Yirmi answers, Chashina lebezdin tayin. We're chashish for Bezdin, they might make a mistake, and they might not know that they're supposed to have the document sit and wait, and therefore they might erase the bottom part of the document after confirming the signatures and make a comparison right then. That's not a valid comparison, therefore there's actually no way to resolve the situation. So bottom line that we come out with from this entire Gemara is that if we have both the Edim and the text of the document that were written and signed on something that was previously erased, that's perfectly kosher. By the same token, if the text of the shtar was written on fresh parchment, on niyar, something that was brand new, and the Edim were signed on machak, they were signed on something that was already erased, that's also valid, as long as the Edim write that that's what happened, that we signed on a document that the bottom part was erased and the upper part was fresh. And then we have this last case that we're just discussing. If the upper part of the document was written on something that was erased and the lower part where the Edim signed was on fresh parchment, that's not kosher. And continuing to explain the Mishnah, Rechanim Gamliel, Omer Mekusher v'chulu. Rechanim Gamliel had argued with Hanakama and had said that even if a get Mekusher had the Edim signed inside of it, that's not a problem because we could always undo it, we can unsew it. Now it's a regular get Pashat, which is supposed to have the Edim signed in it. However, we have a question on this. Hashav Rabbi Ladivar Rechanim Gamliel. Rabbi responded, meaning he asked a question on the words of Rechanim Gamliel. The Zman, the date written on a get Pashut versus a get Mekusher are two different dates. Pashut Melch Shana Man Lashana Shtayim Man Lashtayim. With a regular get Pashut, an open document, if it's the first year of the king's reign, they write it's the first year of the king's reign. If it's the second year of the king's reign, they write it's the second year of the king's reign. Whereas Mekusher, if it's a get Mekusher, Melch Shana Man Lashtayim Shtayim Man Lagimel. If it was the first year of the king's reign, they write it was the second year. And if it was the second year of the king's reign, they write it was the third year of the king's reign. And this is because that's actually how the non-Jews used to write it in their shtaras to show honor to the king, that even though it was the first year of his reign, they would write it was the second, so on and so forth. And the reason why we dafka do this by a get Mekusher is because anyway, the Chum were trying to metaken many challenges to write a get Mekusher. Remember, this is all because they wanted to prevent a hot-headed kohen from divorcing his wife really quickly, and therefore he should write this get Mekusher that's very complicated, and in the meantime, he was going to cool down. But the bottom line is that the date written in a get Mekusher is different than the date written in a get Pashut. And what's the problem with that? Vizimnin, sometimes, the Yosef Mnei Zuze Mekusher, Reuven's going to borrow money from Shimon, and that's going to be written in a get Mekusher. And then Reuben's going to end up coming across some money in the interim, Uparle, and he's going to pay off his debt to Shimon. Vamrle, and he's going to ask him, Havlishtaroy, give me my shtar back because I just paid you. Vamrle, and Shimon's going to tell him, Irchasli, I lost the shtar. Vakosavle Tavra, and he's going to write him a shiver, a receipt. And here's the problem with Chimati Zimne, when the date written on this get Mekusher comes, Mashile Pashut, he's going to turn it into a get Pashut. He's going to undo the stitches. Now it's just going to be a regular document. Vamrle, the lender's going to claim, Hani, these monies that you owe me, Hashtid Yazus Minoy, you borrowed it from me right now. In other words, the problem is as follows. In year number one of the king's reign, for example, Reuben's going to borrow $100 from Shimon, and that's going to be written in a get Mekusher. Now remember, in a get Mekusher, it doesn't say in the first year of the king's reign, it says in the second year. Now a couple months later, Reuben's going to pay off his debt. He's going to ask for the shtar back. Shimon's going to claim he doesn't have it. Instead, he's going to write Reuben a receipt that in the first year of the king's reign, you paid me back the $100 that you owed me. Now when it comes to the second year of the king's reign, the real second year, Shimon's now going to take out the shtar that he was hiding, undo the stitches. Now it's going to look like a regular pashut, a regular open shtar, which says in it that Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon in the second year of the king's reign. Shimon's going to take the shtar out and say, Reuven, you owe me $100. And then when Reuven takes out his shiver, his receipt that proves that he paid Shimon back, Shimon's going to say, wonderful, that happened in the first year of the king's reign. But this, as the document says, took place in the second year of the king's reign, so you owe me another $100. And that's obviously false. The Gemara answers, no problem, because Savar, he holds in Kaisen shiver. They actually don't write receipts. And therefore, when Reuven pays Shimon back, they actually have to tear up the shtar, so we're never going going to have this issue. Now the Gemara asks a different question. Umibaki Rebbe Makusher, was Rebbe really such an expert in a get Makusher that he was able to ask this question on Rebbe Chanina ben Gamliel? Vahu Makusher, the Asla Kamei de Rebbe, there was a get Makusher that came to Rebbe, Vamar Rebbe, and Rebbe said, Shtar Mocher Zeh, is a post-dated shtar, because it was the first year of the king's reign, for example, and it was written second year of the king's reign. So it looks like a post-dated shtar. Vamarle Zunin le Rebbe, and Zunin, who's the name of a Chacham, he told Rebbe, Kachman Hagashal Umazu, this is what the Minna gives. Melch Shana, Moinele Shtayim, Shtayim Moinele Shalosh. If it's the first year of the king's reign, they write that it was the second. If it's the second year, they write the third. So we see that Rebbe was not such a big expert in a get Makusher. How is it then that he's able to ask this question on Rav Chanina ben Gamliel? And the answer is no problem. Basar Shama Mizunin Savra. After Rebbe heard this from Zunin, so now he was Saver, meaning he understood this on his own, so he was able to ask a question on Rav Chanina ben Gamliel. We bring another story. Who starred the Havakas of Bey Bishnas Pliny Archon? There was a star that was written in it in the year of Pliny Archon. Archon means a ruler. Actually, the Shirish, if you will, of the word is ARCH, such as in the word monarch or monarchy or anarchy. As word Archon was usually written about a ruler or a king in his first year of his reign. Now, Amr Chani says, Yibadik, we just have to check. Amasai Amr Archon Bar Chanuse, when did this Archon, this ruler, get appointed to his rulership just to make sure that it's the first year? As more of a Dilma de Arch Machuse, maybe they wrote Archon for the word Arich, that he's been a king for a very long amount of time, and that's not referring to the first year of his reign. So Amr Bishai says that no, Kachman Hagashal Umazu, this was the minug of those people. Shana Rishon Karnle Archon, the first year of his reign they called him Archon, and Shnia Karnle Digon, in the second year they called him Digon, which comes from the Greek word two. Maybe they dethroned him and then put him back onto the throne afterwards, and that's why they're calling him Archon, because it's his first year of his second reign. And on this, Amar Rabbi answers, "Who Archon Digon Karule?" This guy would be called Archon Digon, first, second, and therefore wouldn't have any issues. And now we continue discussing this. Tanur Banu Vibraisa. Let's say a person says, "Hareini Nazir Am Nazir," and then he appended something to the word after Nazir. Simcha Samar Simcha says, "Hina Achas." If the guy had said, "Hareini Nazir Hina," I'm a Nazir Hina, which in Greek means one, so that means he has to be a Nazir for 1 Nazir's period, which is 30 days. If he said Digon, meaning he said Hareini Nazir Digon, Shtaim, he has to be a Nazir for 2 Nazir's periods. If he said Trigon, that means 3, Gimel, so he has to be a Nazir for 3 Nazir's periods. Tatrigon, 4, so Arba, he has to be a Nazir for 4 Nazir's periods. And Pentigon, which is like our word, Pentagon, he has to be a Nazir for 5 Nazir's periods. And similarly, Tanur Banu, we have a brass that tells us, Bais Ogol, a house which is completely round, Digon, or it only has 2 corners, which is basically one wall of the house is completely rounded, it's like a half circle, and then the other one is totally straight, so there's only 2 corners to this house. Trigon, or there's 3 corners to the house, it's a triangle house. Pentagon, or a 5-cornered house, for example, there was a regular 4-cornered house, and then they cut off 1 corner, turning it into 2. Einam Taim Benegayim, it cannot become Taim Benegayim, and it's only Tetrigon, a 4-cornered house, meaning just a regular house with 4 walls, Taim Benegayim, that can become Taim Benegayim. If it has Taras on it, then it will be Tame. And Menon Emilia, how do we know this? Tanarban, because the Brisa tells us, Lamala Oimer, in one pasuk it says, Kir, Kirois. And really, the pasuk in regards to Taras says the word Kirois, that the Kain saw the Taras on the Kirois Habayis, but it could have used the word Kir. That's why we're saying Kir Kirois. The pasuk could have used the word Kir. Instead, he used the word Kirois, and Kirois is plural of walls. Daim, that means referring to a house that has 2 walls. And Lamata Oimer, right afterwards, another pasuk says, Kir Kirois. Again, it could have used the word Kir, but instead it used the word Kirois. And once again, that tells us, Shtayim, that we're talking about a house that has 2 walls. Harekhan Arba, that means that the house we're referring to that has Saras has 4 walls, and it's only such a house that can become Taim with Saras, not a circular house or one that has 2, 3, or 5 walls. And going back to Get Makusher, Ahu Makusher, the Asla Kamei de Rebbe, a Get Makusher came to Rebbe, Va'amar Rebbe, Rebbe said, Ein Zman Bazet. There's no date in this Get Makusher. Amar Reb Shimon Rebbe, the Rebbe, Reb Shimon, Rebbe's son, told him, Shem Bank Shar Mavla. Maybe it's absorbed or hidden within the folds of this document. So Palye, he unsewed it, V'chazi, and he saw it. And then Hadar Chazi Bei Rebbe Bishos, Rebbe looked at him with Bishos, meaning he looked at him with like a sharp glance, showing disapproval at such a document. Amar Reb Shimon responded to him, Lavana Kasavte, I didn't write it, Rebbe Yehuda Chaita Kasavte, Rebbe Yehuda Chaita, he wrote it. And on this, Amar Rebbe responded to him, Klach Milashon Hara Zeh, go away or stay away from this Lashon Hara. What are you saying something negative for? Now Zimnin, sometime later, Havi Yosef Kamei, Reb Shimon was sitting in front of Rebbe, the Kapasik said to Sefer Tehillim, and he finished one of the Sfarim of Sefer Tehillim. It's divided into 5 parts, and he finished one of those. And Amar Rebbe commented, Kam Miyosher Ksav Zeh. This Sefer Tehillim was written so straight and so nice. What beautiful penmanship. And Amar Reb Shimon told him, Lava no Kasavte, I didn't write it, Yudachaita Kasve, Yudachaita, he wrote it. And Amar on this as well, Rebbe told him, Klach Miloshon Hara Zeh, stay away from this Lashon Hara. Now we analyze, Bishlei Mahasam, we understand in regards to the first situation, Ikka Lashon Hara, there was Lashon Hara, because Rebbe was not happy about the fact that the date was hidden inside this Get Makusher, and by Reb Shimon telling him that it wasn't me, it was somebody else, that's Lashon Hara. Why did he have to say it was somebody else? He could have just said it wasn't me. Alahacha, but over here, my Lashon Hara Ikka, what type of Lashon Hara is there? Rebbe was commenting on the beauty of the Ksav, and so Reb Shimon, wanting to compliment Yehuda Chaita, said it was Yehuda Chaita. Why is that Lashon Hara? And the answer is Mishum de Rav Dimi. It's because of what Rav Dimi said. The Tani Rav Dimi, Achud, Rav Safra, Rav Dimi, the brother of Rav Safra taught, La'olam al yusapar adam betuvah shel chaveiroi, Vasai, a person should not speak excessively about the good of another person, Shemitach Tu Vasai Balidei Rasai, because if a person continues talking about the good of someone, eventually something bad is going to come out. And that's what Rebbe was telling him, stay away from Lashon Hara. If you start saying too many good things about him, we're going to eventually say something bad. Now, once we're on this topic, Amar of Amram, Amar Rav, Shalosh Haveiros Ein Adam Nitzol Mehen B'chol Yoyim, there's three Haveiros that a person is not saved from every single day. A person is definitely going to run into these issues. Here, Aveira, he's going to think about doing an Aveira, and Ian Tefillah, which even though the Rashbam translates as a person who davened with Kavana, he's going to be 100% confident that Hashem is going to answer him. That's not the way most Rishonim explain. It's just the basic understanding, Ian Tefillah, that a person has a hard time concentrating and davening with proper Kavana. And lastly, Lashon Hara, a person is going to speak Lashon Hara every day. As the Gemara, Lashon Hara is Al Kadaitach. You really think that every single person speaks Lashon Hara every single day? Rather, the Gemara explains, you're right, Avak Lashon Hara. It's like the dust of Lashon Hara. A person will say something every day that could be construed as Lashon Hara, and that's something that everybody runs into on a daily basis. And Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, something similar, Rav Begezel, the majority of people run into Gezel. This is when a person is involved in business dealings and he takes some profits away from the other person, giving some sort of excuse why he thinks that he should have them. Umiyut Barayas, there's very few people that run into issues of Arayas, but Kol Lashon Hara, and everyone runs into issues of Lashon Hara. Ask Gemara, Lashon Hara Salka Daitach, you think that everybody has issues of Lashon Hara? El, or rather we say, you're right, Avak Lashon Hara, it's Avak Lashon Hara, the dust of Lashon Hara, that's an issue that everybody runs into. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to explain the Mishnah. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.